podcast brought to you by NighttimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we're back and someone else is back on General Hospital. Stay tuned. Jillian Bo, welcome. The laughter we hear in the intro is Jillian. Welcome.
Hello.
Joshua Baldwin, welcome.
Hello, hello, hello.
And welcome back, Mike Jubonville, who has been traveling to international locales for months and has been away and too busy to podcast.
And showed back up in Nixon Falls.
Right.
It should be Hursley Falls. We all know that name should be Hursley Falls. Yes, boys. Y'all are throwing love to Agnes, but that was the Hursley show. They should cuss you out. Yes, I said it.
Welcome back, Mike.
Why, thank you.
It's been
when you
a
caught
while
me, I actually had to go on mute and laugh out loud when you said that intro. So,
okay, well, we didn't have a podcast last week because I was actually visiting the Boston Boys. So we're going to be doing a little bit of catch up on some casting news and then diving into the most current. It looks like Melissa Reeves is set to return to Days of Our Lives as Isabel Durant is exiting. Tristan Rogers is, I guess, coming back to General Hospital. Meanwhile, Peter Port, who we loved on The Young and the Restless, will be appearing in Days of Our Lives Beyond Salem. Speaking of Days of Our Lives Beyond Salem, Jamie was able to reveal this last week that he is writing on the web series for Peacock, and he has episodes coming up on the mothership in November. Jillian, what was your reaction when the news was announced?
Which ones? You just did like a whole litany of news.
So, I'm talking about Jamie.
Jamie.
Okay, well, I've been known for a while, so I can keep secret. I'm just happy for him, you know. He's writing for his, I'm like, Lord, if we have a bunch of mewing on that show, we'll know why. I'm like, we'll know why.
And gasping.
Yes. I'm like, yes, we know why. But, you know, he's always said when he started doing podcasting and blogging that he's always wanted to do writing for soaps. And this is what he's doing. So I'm happy for him. And he's writing for one of his favorites. You know, I can't do nothing about Another World, child. That's between you, Jill Farren Phelps, and NBC Hunty. And that was a P&G soap, too, right? Wasn't that a P&G
yes.
soap? Yeah, so you need to talk to P&G. I can't do nothing about them or Santa Barbara, but, you know, he's writing for one of his faves, so I'm happy for him.
Mike, what did you think?
Oh, for me, it was kind of a nice surprise because a lot of these things, of course, are never revealed until they're revealed. But I also, like Jillian, knew about it a while ago, but I had no idea that he was involved in the Beyond Salem stuff. But I am beyond happy for him right now because this is the when he said that he was, you know, at home watching it, faking that he was sick. We've all been there before the VCR days. And I'm just so thrilled. I can't imagine what it must be like for him to just realize this dream.
Okay, I am in the VCR era. Me and Jamie are in the VCR era, unlike you, sir. So you might want to change that. Thank you. But yes, I was getting where you were going. But I'm like, we were born during the VCR era, sir.
Oh, and he still had to call up. That's even better.
I think we actually have a podcast along those lines about some of the a top five on the craziest things he's done for soap. So if you want to try and find that episode, go back and look. And there's some
my
great stories
soap
there.
My soap encyclopedia, Tony and then Enrique on Twitter, our DC listener, they'll dig it up because Enrique dug up a bunch. But I was like, shit, I don't remember saying that. And I said it on Twitter. I'm like, I didn't say that. And then he goes, boop. But I'm like, well, I guess I did.
There are too many episodes of this podcast to remember everything that has been said and whether or not the continuity holds up. Josh, what did you think of Jamie's news?
When I found out, I just feel like I need to live vicariously through Jamie because we have similar backgrounds in terms of what we watched and being all giddy about it as kids and that kind of stuff. And I just, as someone who still gets the chills when I see the history of John Black going on the the docks and seeing Marlena as he's left Isabella at home, and you get those chills of that moment. I think about Jamie as a kid, and then now he gets to write for them, and I'm just so tickled for him. Like, I just want to live vicariously through him through this. I'm just so excited for him.
And it's kind of awesome that all the people that he fell in love with and watched on the show are still there.
Still
so
there!
He gets to write for them.
Yeah, a ton of them are still there. Fancy Face is not, but the rest are. Many of those are.
Okay.
I guess Bo isn't there either, I suppose.
Marlena's there. That's all that matters. Marlena there.
Well, I obviously was extremely happy for this to work out. And for the announcement, it is a culmination in terms of a lifelong dream for Jamie. There have been times when I'm like, I can't wait to see what little touches he has because of the fact that over the years with ambitions and various other things, he's read me some of his scripts and things, and it will be in, and you just sort of get a sense of who he is as a writer. So as those things start popping up, I'm looking forward to it. His first official episode is on Beyond Salem. It is the finale. The episodes are actually going to air September 6th through 10th. So it'll be one each day on Peacock with the finale on the 10th. So look for the finale and Jamie's name's in the credits.
Oh my God, if Lucinda Kerr pops up, I will piss myself.
I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen.
Let's not forget the addition of a black writer at Days of Our Lives.
Yes,
important.
Yep. Yes, as one departs from the show, Sony show. Mm.
Yeah,
but yes.
We'll be talking about that in a little bit. Also in Beyond Salem, they cast Noah Huntley in the role of Lord Sebastian Elamain. The trailer for the Peacock series gave us a taste of what to expect. The Alamanian Peacock is going to play a central role in the story. I'm going to go around the circle and get reaction to the trailer. Mike, you first.
Oh, the trailer was surprisingly good. I wasn't really sure what to expect from a 5-episode arc of Beyond Salem. But the trailer for me sucked me right in. Having all those familiar faces back on this particular element of the show. And then it just looked clear and crisp and fun. And that's what I'm hoping for is fun. And I don't know how Lisa Rinna meeting up with her drag double is not fun.
Oh, but, it is absolutely fun. And as someone who watched that series season of Drag Race and got to see Jackie Cox like do Lisa Rinna in Snatch Game and then Lisa show up in the finale of which Jackie was one of the finalists, I'm looking forward to it a lot. I mean, that they play off of each other extremely well. Jillian, what did you think of the trailer?
Yeah, because I'm like, I don't know that girl. I don't know her. I thought the trailer was great. I was like, the Alamania Peacocks. I'm like, they done dug up the Alamates. I'm liking that. What I also like, I was like, they Daytime still acts like that's, you know, conservative school marm, you know, Luke, you're sitting too close to that girl. Woo! You know, they still act like that, even though the world has evolved and changed. What surprised me when I saw is the, you know, Will and Sonny in that shower. I said, okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm like, all right. I'm like, I'm liking that. I think it's going to be amazing. I'm not just saying that because of the Jamie aspect, but, you know, it's the storylines seem real juicy how it's all going to play out. Like, because I'm like, they're all on different parts of the globe and something, what brings them together? And you hear about this Alamania Peacock. I'm like, I see what you did there, Alamanian. And then the Peacock. I'm like, see what y'all did there.
I was thinking Ice Princess.
No, but I saw what they did there with the Peacock thing. I'm like, well played. I'm like, you know, Peacock better back a Brinks truck up. I'm excited for it. I'm excited. I can't wait to watch it. You know, I did not have Peacock before. I did download Peacock. Yes, I did. So I will be watching.
Josh, one of the things that I thought was interesting about the trailer was the exterior shots.
Yes.
The exterior shots for me gave me very, like, Sheridan Crane, very early year one Passions, when they had all these amazing exterior shots on Passions. But it was like, oh, Days of Our Lives has some money for some bold and the beautiful Monte Carlo exterior shots. And I was like, I love this. What did you think of the trailer?
I loved it. The exterior shots was one of the things that I noticed. There's a part of the trailer where Lonnie and Eli and Paulina and Abe and company are outdoors in Miami, and it looked like it was outdoors in Miami. I've been to that mall in Miami that's outdoors and up, and it looks exactly like
what you've been in Miami like. For what you was
love,
doing in
oh,
Miami.
I used to go, I'm still hanging in Miami. I love my not really. I've been there twice. I've been hanging in Miami, but I've been there twice. I've been there a couple times, but it did remind me.
It was
me
called
of
the Horror place. Of Spring Break.
Well, that's true. Ooh. But, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. But those outdoor shots were so good. But what really struck me about it is this is a tribute to old school 1980s Days of Our Lives adventure.
Yes.
Where they would go, there would be a thing, and they'd be, oh, we got to chase down this person. Or
nine
yes. I mean, Bo and Hope are missing, but that doesn't. But we got every other person in the free world on, so it's all good. It just it feels like classic days. And just as a side note, because we hadn't mentioned it, Eileen to the damn Davidson,
ooh, oh, yes.
Flipping that hair up and saying, "Oh!" I mean, I have no idea what's with this or how they're playing her or how it. Is impact Stacey Hyduke or whatever, but Eileen Davidson, when she shook that hair, I was like, oh, there she is. That's one of those characters like, oh, there's Kristen, there yes. she is. And yes. I just thought, ah. And it's so smart to have Rena and Eileen Davidson, who's not on Beverly Hills Housewives anymore, but still, people who haven't watched Days know those two as right. friends on Beverly Hills Housewives, so it could pull other people in.
Any other final thoughts as we're wrapping up Days of Our Lives Beyond Salem?
I just feel as though this is a good thing for the genre. You know, my booski, Damien Hallbrook, had said this when the news dropped about Beyond Salem, because we have been crowing for how long? We've been crowing since, you know, for many, many years. And especially when streaming platforms started to, like, really take off, and online really started to take off. We've been crowing that, you know, they should do something with characters that you don't see or things that you don't see. Or if you hear, like, for example, like on Bolts, if you hear, oh, Rick is over at International, we've never seen what they, you know, we only when they are bringing back a character, we see a little bit of International, but we don't see the workings. Like, we will want to know what's going on in International if you're not going to, you know, bring the person on the mothership, or, you know, over at Y&R, you know, with Kyle and the tartlet, they're in Italy, you know. My name just drew a blank for her, Jesus.
You see
what they're doing over there. I am really hopeful for this, because this does well. This is game changing for soaps, and especially since Tolan, the online network, tried to do it. The Prospect Park people tried and bombed at it. I feel as though a lot of years has passed now, and now people get a idea on how to do that. This can totally change the game. Like, if it does well, you know, who knows, you could bring, you know, your All My Children's, your One Lives, and this and that on an online platform.
Santa Barbara.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing to get Peacock off the ground.
Yeah,
even more so because it is Days is one of their most downloaded daily things. So, and I think, you know, other streaming platforms like, I don't know, Paramount might be able to take a lesson from that.
Yeah, and like Bold and Y&R could probably pitch them to do something. I remember, like, in the mid-2000s, Brad was going to do something over at Nickelodeon. Was it Nickelodeon or something like that? He was going to do some, like, he was going to do like some teen soap or something. Then you never heard about it. Maybe with this, he can probably dust that thing off, you know? So
right.
I'm here
you could
it.
Probably take something like a Y and R, B and B combo and mash it up and kind of interact people that maybe obviously wouldn't cross paths.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about another topic that's affecting not just one soap, but a couple. Just backing up for a second, last year in the height of COVID, soap operas were some of the first entertainment media, forms that returned to filming. There were lots of precautions. There were lots of rules that did it. We had to endure a blow-up dummy doll. Well, I guess not blow-up technically, but a dummy doll on The Bold and the Beautiful because of the restrictions. So soap operas have gone through a lot in the past year, but now as politics is sort of infesting various elements of the national debate over COVID, we are seeing that play out on the sets of the stars or the sets of the soaps, and stars are having very differing opinions regarding masks and vaccinations mandates. And that sort of came to a head this last week on social media involving multiple General Hospital stars, The Bold and the Beautiful, at least a Bold and the Beautiful star, who many of them were anti-vaccine. Nancy Lee Grahn, who has always been an outspoken proponent of COVID precautions, basically pointed out that there are people who are not vaccinated and that safety precautions are that would be expected on a set are not being done. Meanwhile, Ingo posted some videos on Instagram that were very interesting to say the least. So let's talk about it a little bit from the industry standpoint, as it seems odd to me that we would go through all the precautions that we went through last year to get to this point, and now we have people coming down with COVID on the set because people aren't being required to have vaccine mandates on the sets. Jillian, what was your thought on this big blow up as it went down this last week?
I thought, GH, your publicist needs to get an ass whooping because they're not reining these kids in. That's what I thought. I'm like, oh my God,
seriously,
why aren't they being reined in? It's good for us, mind you. But I'm just like, what the fuck? Here's my thing about this situation. There is no mandate for shows and so forth. Okay, that's fine. But people miss the part when Nancy is saying, not only is there not a mandate, but people aren't following protocols. Like, I guess when you're not in scenes or you're just waiting for scenes, you do the 6 feet apart, social distance, and wear your mask. And it don't sound like people are wearing masks. And obviously something is true. You know, some people were shitting on Nancy. Oh, this is just Nancy, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, sis is telling the truth, because then who turned up with COVID? Who? Who?
Steve Burton.
There you go. And, you know, I saw somebody say when I wrote that post, they were like, this is clickbait. I'm like, how is this clickbait? And the man himself said that he got fucking COVID. And what's the big deal? Why is this news? I didn't say anything, but someone else did. I don't know who this is, but shout out to you. This person was like, what the fuck do you? Well, they ain't say that part, but they were just like, what do you mean that this is not news? Their biggest, one of their biggest stars and their leading men has COVID, and we're not supposed to talk about that. I'm like, you know, the mandates, like, they need to enforce the rules over there. Say what you will about Bold. In the beginning with Bold, we did clown the dolls because it was the dolls was stupid. I still stand by that. It was, they is, they are. But we, you know, Bold shot like they would be like football fields across from each other. Like in the beginning, they were, it's trial and error. You haven't heard since they've done that anybody has COVID over there, right?
Okay. And the one crew member tested positive, they shut down.
Exactly. So, and if you pay attention, you notice that, but those Bell shows, even though they're still close together, when, like, say, Ridge and Brooke are not close together in scenes, they still are adhering to, like, social distancing mandates. You'll see like Eric sometimes right across from Quinn, and you're just like, I'm just like, I really didn't know that until one day I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, they are still adhering to that, as is YNR. You haven't heard they shut down in a while recently or anybody turn up over there. So it sounds like some shit needs to be done. It needs to be taken care of. You know, I'm not going around the mulberry bush about about the vaccine and this and that. That's all.
Reading those tweets from Spears was like,
Aaron D. Spears. Yeah. I saw what you were trying to say, sir, mm-hmm. but you need to sit there and eat your food, because he did get me when he was just like, I do agree with this. If you are thumbing your nose at wearing a mask, social distancing, hell, if you don't even want to sanitize and wash your hands, I side eye you if you don't want to wash your hands and sanitize. I really do side eye you. I do agree with him with this. If you don't want to take these precautions and you have COVID, you wind up getting COVID after you thumb your nose, don't bring your ass to the hospital. Don't, because you were warned. Don't bring your ass to the hospital. You were warned. He lost me when he started to talk about suicide. And I was like, oh my God, shut the fuck up. I know Bull probably was like, what the hell?
Like comparing it to bridges and buildings.
Yes, I was really like, damn, bro. Like, you're trying to make a point, but this is not the way. And you sound fucking ignorant. You do. I'm going to say that. You know, I wasn't here for it. The same with Ingo. Some of the things that he was saying, you know, he twisted them around. I just feel as though if you don't want to do something, that's fine. But this is the repercussions that happens. And with Nancy, people keep saying, oh, this is the liberal in her. Y'all keep forgetting. Listen, y'all know me and Nancy got our druthers. You know, Viola Davis. Still remember that. Anyways, time has passed. Woosah. This is why I'm like, I'm pro Nancy with this. Nancy's better half, her fiance, is a cancer survivor. So he
weakened immune system.
Exactly.
So is Cameron Matheson.
See, there you go. So I can see why Nancy is like, hell no. Put some shit in order. Like, she is trying to sound the alarm. And people are like, what about Frank? What about Frank? If you're paying attention, you know, SAG-AFTRA, they're about to have a new president. There, you know, it's the nanny versus Matthew Modine with that. Oh, yeah. None of those two heifers are requiring a mandate. And as of right now, SAG-AFTRA does not have a mandate. Therefore, the union protects them. Therefore, Frank can't say, bitch, get your ass vaccinated. I feel as though Disney can. And so far, they've only done that with their theme parks and certain other entities, but not their shows and so forth. But, you know, it sounds like it's a fucking free-for-all over there, because when Steve Burton admitted he got COVID, somebody at work gave him COVID. I'm like, what the fuck? Yes, they're not paying attention. You're not doing the protocols that y'all are supposed to do. It's not like this is not like some little cold that you get, and like this Delta variant, and then they talking about Lambda. I'm like, Jesus Christ, if y'all talk about Kappa, Deltas, and AKAs, mm-hmm. and Sigma, Gamma, Rho's having this. I'm like, oh my God, I'm done. But seriously though, you keep having these new strains, and it's like everybody wants to be out of this. I know we all want to be out of this. I know I do, because I had plans. I had plans in 2020. I had plans, and COVID said, no, bitch, you sitting your ass down. We all want to get out and do what we did before. If we would, if people would just do what they're supposed to do, we can get out of that. And I feel as though, you know, if you're not wearing your mask on the set and standing 6 feet apart, you need to sit your ass at home then. Like, that's not fair. If that's your belief, fine, that's your belief. But you and your fuckery is affecting everybody
else. It's literally infecting, potentially.
Yes, it's spreading all. You got me all verklempt here. It has ramifications for everyone else and their loved ones. And this is how the cycle keeps going on and on and on. And, you know, Ingo, if that's what you want to do, baby, then you need to just ride the bench. You know, I know he is reveling in this whole situation because he was all giddy about trending because I guess Fire Ingo was the thing. And I'm like, no, look, like y'all talking about Fire Ingo. I'm like, y'all need to chill with that. I'm like, if Frank ain't fired him for saying that racism is, for the Chinese.
Or supporting the January 6th insurrection.
It's all that. I'm like, if Frank ain't fired him for that, I'm like, calm down. If you don't believe in doing these things, and this is what GH has in place, then they need to take precautions because your actors are coming down with this. And even though she won't say it, the timing is suspect. The Jeannie Francis was like, I'm spending time with my family for the summer. And I'm like, girl, the summer is almost over. What you talking about? The summer is over. I don't blame Jeannie. I don't blame her. If this is why she allegedly left, bye, girl. I don't blame you, sis. I don't. I do not blame her with that. Like, something needs to give over here. I was just like, God, this is just so crazy.
Josh, what did you think of how the vaccination mandate played out in daytime this last week?
I'm with Jillian on all of it. I would just add this, even if there is a mandate, the choice that they're so vehemently arguing for still exists. Your choice just has consequences. So if you choose to not get vaccinated, you can make that choice, mandate or no, but there are consequences to your choices. So don't pretend like a mandate takes your choice away. It doesn't. You still have the ability to choose. But then if you choose to not get vaccinated when there's a mandate, your ass gets fired.
Or go on hiatus or suspended
or whatever.
Or I will just say this for New York, before the vaccine was like FDA approved, for New York school systems, for New York school systems, and other places, they were saying you either get vaccinated or you get weekly testing, which I feel, that's accurate. That's what you should do. That somehow something like that should be set up over there.
And there's other strategies for that, too. Like Delta Airlines is also charging more for insurance policies for people who aren't vaccinated because of the extra costs that would be incurred. Other places are, if someone has been vaccinated and has a breakthrough case and has to spend 2 weeks at home, they're getting paid time off. But if the employee has chosen not to be vaccinated and gets it, then they're not getting paid time off. There's different strategies that corporations can use while having a mandate in place to be able to deal with this, but be able to keep the people on set safe. Mike, what did you think of everything that went down this last week?
Well, gosh, I have a lots of opinions, and they're all pretty much in line with you guys, but my public health sensibility is very much of the thing is that public health is always for the greater good, and sometimes the greater good costs you a little pain. This rise in the Delta variant could be squashed in a couple of months. We're not looking at another year to a year and a half of COVID misery if we can just get this under control. My hashtag direct deposit sensibility comes in check when you think about everyday safety measures that a company is responsible for to protect their employees. So to say that a company is infringing on your rights to do XYZ, well, there are a lot of things you can't do at work that would get you fired or sidelined if you did something to harm or bring some sort of misfortune to other employees. So it's in their legal interest to try to work through these loopholes and figure something out. College students are griping about getting COVID vaccines, but they have to have meningitis vaccines before they even get into a dormitory.
Measles, mumps, rubella.
Yeah, it's like we're cherry picking issues here just to be outraged about stuff. And as far as Aaron D. Spears stuff, I get he did have the point of view of, and I can't speak as a black man, obviously, But, you know, talking about the misinformation of the government over, you know, with the Tuskegee Airmen and all the other things, I get it. I understand where that is. But when you start throwing suicide in buildings and stuff, you lost me. So, you know, I think the thing with Ingo and Aaron and everybody else who feels this way, you have a right to your opinion and you have a right to say it. But you also have, like Josh said, there are consequences, and we all have consequences, you know, depending on the path that we choose. And it's hard to keep an open mind when, you know, I know that the four of us have been doing what we're supposed to do for a year and a half. And because of people who don't, we are still sidelined. And that, to me, is what makes me angry.
It's time to send Jax on to visit Lady Jane.
Speaking about Jax, the character specifically, I don't think that, like, fire Ingo hashtags is a good idea. I would look at it completely from a storyline standpoint. And prior to all of this going down, my point had been Jax has become a window dressing and doesn't drive story like he did back in his heyday. Why do we need window dressings on the canvas? That's my only point. I mean,
no, and I think this has been an issue since Jax came back.
Right. He's been back for what, a couple years? Like, I wanted Ingo to come back because I loved Jax back in the day.
And Jax versus Sonny over Jocelyn and Carly was always worth watching.
But the last year or two, Jax has just been a window dressing, and there's really no point to have him there. He doesn't really add anything to the conversation. Us having these debates between him and Carly, like we had this last week over Jocelyn's like college stuff, Jax isn't ever around enough for this to really have any impact. I don't see the point of it, but that's getting off on.
Because this has nothing to do with Ingo and his bullshit.
Right.
But I just sat there. I told you, I said it on a podcast eons ago. I said, what is going on over there? Because I'm just going to keep it real. It seems like he's been it seems like they don't know what to do with him. And I'm just like, and I started saying, you know, with Jax, he would have been all over that ELQ takeover, especially since Valentine had something to do with it. And he and Valentine are rivals for Nina. So you would think that Jax would have stepped into that koi pond because Jax was a corporate raider. Jax would have helped his best friend, Ned, who they don't never show them together. And don't say it's because Wally is over at Days, because Wally said, bitch, I'm cashing two checks. But they don't ever show them together. You didn't see Jax tell Ned, I got this. I got you. I'm going to help you and your family out. You don't see that happening. You know, even though that's her mother's friend, Jax was like fond of Lois. So you don't see that with Lois's only child skinning and grinning with Valentine, his rival. You would have thought Jax would have tried to step in there or say something there. Like, he just seems marginalized. But I'm like, whatever, maybe they got something big planned for him, or maybe they don't, or maybe, I don't know, maybe they can't do nothing because people are scared to work with his ass because of COVID and his stance. Who knows? But whatever.
The only other thing that I'll say is it's not a good look when an actor starts attacking the fans.
Well, it's also, I'm going to say, I just hope it doesn't affect storylines, which I don't know how it can't at some point. And that's where they're going to have to draw the line.
But this circles right back, this is the last thing. I'll circle back to the beginning with Jillian. This goes to GH's PR team. I mean, no other show, really. I know Aaron D. Spears did what he did, but on the regular, GH folks showing out and showing their ass on Twitter and Instagram, and you don't see that. I don't know what's happening or what's not happening, but I see that's clearly a pattern, and
well,
I don't know what's going on.
The thing that the three other soaps have in common is Sony.
Not three, two.
Sony doesn't have any involvement in Bell's in B&B.
Both, no.
Oh, okay.
They have nothing to do with that. But no, CBS. I know CBS has like a clause in their contracts, like you show your ass out on Twitter or Instagram, and this is what happens. I mean, all I will tell you, hold on, all I'll tell you is this: sit and think when some people got ghosted on Twitter and Instagram when they would show out. Just sit and think. I ain't got to tell you nothing else, and I'm not going to tell you nothing else. But just sit and think about that. I think GH has one. I guess I think Days does.
Shit.
I don't know. I do not know. It's just like, Frank really needs to step in and say, cut the bullshit. Like, I was talking to someone about this. I'm like, we really do need somebody like a Bill Bell. Like, I brought that up, not the storyteller, but back in the day, oh my God. Remember back in the day, E used to have E True Hollywood Story?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He had an E True Hollywood Story about The Young and the Restless. Remember when Eric Braden and Peter Bergman fought on that set? They said Bill Bell took them two cats to the side and said, if y'all keep this shit up, I'ma fire your asses. I'll write you the fuck out. So you need somebody like that to take these actors to the side. I'm not talking about the vaccine and this and that. I'm talking about when they act the fuck up. I mean, like, when Ingo was, I'm like, that is just, I'm like, you are the epitome of white privilege with that. He got in his feelings when he found out that Nancy blocked him on Twitter when he was on Twitter, and he like tried to send his fans after her. I'm like, bro, it's just Twitter, so what? I would have been like, oh well, I would have clowned her for that and not even say anything. I'd have been like, oh well, she can't handle the truth. I don't have to see her bullshit anyways, or something, you know? He sent his fans after her. He was trying to troll her and this and that. I wanted somebody, where was Frank to pull him to the side? And when Nancy, not even to just gang up on Ingo, when Nancy does her fuckery on there, I wanted Frank to pull them to the side and say, look here, you keep this up and see what happens. Jack's got jackknife. Alexis gets shanked in jail. Like, somebody needs to, I don't understand. I don't understand, like, why Frank is not stepping up and just, like, shutting it down. I don't know what's happening with PR over there. It's like,
meanwhile, the folks at Days are, like, running around happy. And the one time we had something happen with somebody on Dave's when Missy Reeves liked the Candace Owens post, the whole cast just jumped in. And then they're merrily just happy with each other, and they're playing on Twitter. And it's like, maybe, I don't know, it's because that Days has to go through worries about cancellation all the time. They're just happy to be here. But they're just, they're like all happy-go-lucky with each other, and I don't know what the difference is.
Well, I think, circling back for a second to what Jillian was saying, in my mind, the difference at YNR is, I feel like we've been doing this podcast so long that you can actually look at eras. And when she mentioned that, I was thinking to myself, well, there was a pre Adam era and a post Adam era, because I'm like, after some stuff went down involving the character of Adam that was done by the actors on Twitter, all of a sudden YNR, I don't know if the contract renewals like started changing everything, but after that, all of a sudden people just started progressively getting quieter, and it's ever since YNR stars for the most part don't show out.
I mean, let's just be real. When Angelica was over there, she did wrangle them together. She didn't have to worry about Bold. CBS still doesn't have to worry about Bold, because I've heard that Brad is very chill over there. And I've heard the temperature over there is very chill and relaxed. So you don't have to worry about Bold showing out over there. It was just YNR and Angelica used to get them together. Like, I just don't understand what's going on at GH. Like, you know, like, you are just, I'm pretty sure GH has like that social media clause, but I'm like, why aren't you enforcing it? Why? I don't understand this.
Because they don't have a PR department.
Child, that PR person, if it was me, well, whoever she is, she probably quit, or she probably got fired, because I'm like, girl, you know, and you don't got Nathan Varney over there no more. Like, it's just crazy. Like, y'all need to chill. Y'all need to chill out over there.
Let's talk a little bit about something that happened on screen that shocketed no one. Peter's back! Woohoo!
Oh, Jesus.
Let's clap for all of everybody. 1, 2, 3. Clap that we're happy that Peter's back. And y'all mics are on, right?
Yep. Yes.
Yep.
Okay, then. There you go. This was the stupidest.
It was the stupidest shit on the thing. Like, I...
Go,
so here,
off,
here's the
car.
Thing.
Set it
here's
off,
the
Big
thing.
Daddy,
if this show would have brought him back as a different character, based on the headlines that they leaked it to Deadline, so that Deadline was writing this thing about the character being gone and blah blah blah. The character's not even gone.
The deadline article
was like Peter is the, and they used the character name. They were very specific about the character name. He's no longer there.
Okay, to be fair with Deadline, and this is not no bus thing. This is just the journalist in me. To be fair, Deadline quoted Soap Opera Digest what they said. If I was Soap Opera Digest and Deadline, I would cuss that PR person out.
They couldn't even come up with a concept to bring the actor back in a new role.
And they love doing that. Please, talk to Ethan Howarth.
I would not have been here for that. Peter coming back as someone else, because a lot of fans were speculating that. I will say this. It is interesting that Peter knows what Nina is up to and knows that Sunny is back. That's an interesting aspect. But it would have been kind of, if you were doing this to facilitate, because you see the timing of it, facilitate Kirsten Storms with the surgery or whatever, you could have had Peter in Shawshank or something or whatever. I'm like, or you should really set, like, are you, like, I thought y'all was setting up a big who killed Peter murder mystery. That would have been more interesting. Like, hold on. I have been enjoying GH very thoroughly. You know, I've been rocking hard for Chris and Dan and Chris or whatever. When Peter popped the fuck up, I was just like, I said it on Twitter. I was like, God damn it, boys. Yep. Y'all have been on fire now y'all did this shit.
Exactly. Like, and they didn't even provide an explanation about how he got out of there when the cameras were back on.
I think that'll be coming.
We've had this entire story about Finn and Liz dealing with all this concern about all the cameras being back on for months. And yet somehow Peter, who was down in the basement in the freezer, was coherent enough after being knocked out and in the freezer for quite some time to avoid any detection said cameras that Finn and Liz were so worried about for months.
Well, remember, they wrote themselves out with that. They said the cameras were down, remember? And then when Monica was back running and being in charge of the girls, Monica made that statement where she said, because Liz and Finn kept talking about the cameras being down, and they were going to, at one point, move Peter's carcass. And then they walked, they happened, Monica
and they found out they were
his carcass. Right.
Monica said when she was walking by that the cameras were back online. So the cameras were down for a while. So Peter probably took his ass.
But that was the thing.
Some
his body.
Some icy hot. They, and took his ass on.
They showed him in the freezer after days the cameras after. Came back on.
But days no, after. Was supposed
no, to be. That was a flashback, sweetie. That was the flashback where they were. I think that was the flashback when they were talking about where Peter was.
Oh,
and
they didn't go back down there and visit.
Oh, I don't think they did.
I think they did. I'm pretty.
Either way, Finn and Elizabeth are a doctor and a nurse, and it.
Oh, they can't. They can never. They can't take my temperature. They can't take shit from me.
Like they can't do a pulse or anything.
You can't take a splinter out from me because y'all mess it up. Mm-mm, nope.
I make the world look stupid to make this work, and I don't like that at all.
Yeah,
it's pathetic.
This is what I did not like with this team is that. To sacrifice at the altar of Peter, they've made people stupid in their shit. They did it with Anna, and I will never forgive for that. And because Anna's always been the smart and the baddest bitch. They've done it with Finn. They've done it with Liz. And they are doing it a little bit with Jason and Spinelli because Jason, they couldn't fit, they had Jason say, Spinelli tried to track the body, but we don't know. The cameras and the Spinelli would have been able to figure that out. It's like, I'm just the Peter reveal. I guess if they thought that this was supposed to be big, ooh, I'm like, it's not giving what it was supposed to have gave girls. Like it didn't. It was just more wah wah. I'm like, ooh.
And then he's back with his whispering. Mike, what did you think?
Girl.
Oh, I can't. We can't. Not.
The whispering wonder has returned to General Hospital.
Acting.
And I'm acting proudly.
Juilliard gone Juilliard.
Right?
Mercy.
Oh, God, I can't with the whispering. Like, I thought Peter would have had some bass in his voice after getting thrown down some stairs, thrown in a big freezer. You would be hot.
At minimum, he would be parched from a dry throat and would give him a little bit of a deeper voice. But no.
And Cynthia Watrous, God love her. She did she is shit into sugar. She did the damn thing. She sat there. She did her line. She looked like she was supposed to look. And she got up on the phone and called Aunt Liesl and said, we need to cap this motherfucker.
But no, that did make me mad too, because it should have been directed a little bit better. They showed Nina had her hand on the damn gun. Nina could have pulled.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I was like, wait. And then she took her hand. I said, oh my God. Nina could have shot him. Nina, if you had showed, if it was something different where the gun, Nina's eyeing the gun across the room, fine. She had a hand on the gun. Nina could have, boom, at least cap him once.
Yep.
Or run him out of the, I'm mad at that. I'm mad at that.
I would have been okay if they wanted to bring him back for 45 seconds just so Nina could shoot him. I'd be fine.
Yes.
Mike, what were your thoughts on it?
Well, it's no surprise that he was going to return. I didn't know that he was actually following Maxie around, and now that he's in Nixon Falls, he's fallen into the black hole of a story black hole. His threats to me with Nina have no heft. So the fact that she reached out to Liesl actually is something that kind of was a little bit of a surprise. So. And I liked it because, you know, Liesl just went right into her Lieselness.
That was a surprise. I kind of disagree, because she went with the one person she knows that wants Peter.
I didn't think she would reach out that quickly.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. When you're being blackmailed into giving the child that you've been promised, Maxie, you're going to help protect. Like, she's basically being blackmailed into trying to give up that information. You don't think that she's immediately going to, like, dial 911 to Liesl?
I thought she would have, but I don't know. What you just said just flew over me. But no, I thought she would have.
I was going to say that I thought she would
James.
Take...
James is the key.
The James, she was like that, you know.
Guys, ask me a question.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry.
Okay, well, bitch.
All I'm saying is I expected Nina to snap faster than she did. She spent a couple of days trying to appease Peter and pretend. She made a half-hearted attempt to alert the state trooper, who's a complete idiot, who doesn't know who Sonny is. And then I felt like would be the click that to bring the Nina that we know from the beginning. And then when she turned to call Liesl, I thought, oh, that was not the move that I expected her to do. It's not that I didn't think she would call her. I just didn't think that she would reach out that quickly. I thought she would handle it herself. That's kind of where I was going.
Well, you finally got there, honey. But you know what? I didn't have a problem with that, because I'll tell you why. Because the way how they wrote it and the way how Watrous played it. So kudos to her, because I felt it in her portrayal. Peter coming there shocked the shit out of her. He found out about her little hidden oasis. Peter put together what she's doing. Of course, because Peter is brilliant, don't you know? You know, Peter smarter than everybody, child. You know, Peter put it together what she was doing. Nina is trying to appease two masters, if you will. She's trying to placate Peter to figure out a plan to get him, but she's also trying to figure out how to get him without anybody else figuring out what she did and busting her on that. So Nina is still, you know, Nina is trying to like figure out, okay, how am I supposed to, how am I going to, you know, keep him at bay and not rock the boat? And how am I going to alert people without rocking without uncovering my hidden jewel over here? And Sonny is alive and da 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 da. So the state trooper and all that, I wasn't mad at that because the state trooper don't know. So, again, y'all don't know Sonny. Like, Elijah don't know Sonny. I'm like, what the fuck?
Well, he did say he knew Pete, recognized Peter. So you'd think he would have, you know.
But right. Not
the fact that, he's not going to recognize one of the five heads of the crime families.
Exactly.
I mean,
who lives down the street.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about The Young and the Restless. Susan Dansby announced this last week in a statement on social media that she is leaving The Young and the Restless. She said that I've decided not to renew my contract. Instead, I'm going to spend time working on a book, among other things. So grateful for the time that I've had at Genoa City this year. Truly the perfect job at the perfect time. Jillian, what are your thoughts on this loss behind the scenes at The Young and the Restless?
This is some bullshit. Like, you've lost a really great writer. And if you know her bio, she's a good director. She cut her teeth on directing first. You know, this just goes like, you know, it just makes me wonder, do you even want any diversity behind the scenes? Like, I really thought that Josh and co would have benefited from Susan. Y'all obviously didn't try to woo her to stay. To me, it don't sound like it. I don't know nothing, but, you know, I would have thought they would have had her do something. You know, you would have seen in statements, like, prime example, when they had Maya and the Avance in the Trend and her reveal of Trend being trans. You had Brad saying this was the opus. You know, he couldn't have done this without Patrick Mulcahy and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, I would have thought with Devon and the Winters and this new family, you would have seen Josh say, you know, we would have seen them more front and center, because you had two black writers over there. I thought you would have utilized those ladies, but clearly ain't nothing happening. I hope somebody picks her up. There would be a feather in Brad's cap to have her. She used to direct over at GH. She would be fantastic over there on the writing team. She would be good on days. Like, I just feel as though, Wine, are you really lost a jewel there?
On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DCConfidential. You can find me on Twitter at Luke_Kerr. Jillian is at Jillian Bow. Josh is at Dr. Joshua09. And the gallivanting Mike is at MPJ24 or 64. It's been so long, Mike.
24.
Okay, there we go. Until next time, so long.
So long. Choices, y'all. Choices.